With your Superhuman News Update, I'm Elliot Turton. By analyzing DNA extracted from petrous bones and skulls of ancient Europeans, scientists have identified that these people remained intolerant to lactose, known better as milk sugar, for 5,000 years after they adopted agricultural practices and 4,000 years after the onset of cheesemaking among Central European Neolithic farmers. The findings published online in the scientific journal Nature Communications also suggest that major technological transitions in Central Europe between the Neolithic, Bronze Age, and Iron Age were also associated with major changes in the genetics of these populations. The researchers state that this means that these ancient Europeans would have had domesticated animals like cows, goats, and sheep, but they would not yet have genetically developed a tolerance for drinking large quantities of milk from mammals. Moreover, our results also imply that the great changes in prehistoric technology, including the adoption of farming, followed by the first use of hard metals, bronze, and then iron, were each associated with the substantial influx of new people. We can no longer believe that these fundamental innovations were simply absorbed by existing populations in a sort of cultural osmosis. Human skin cells reprogram directly into the brain. Scientists have described a way to convert human skin cells directly into a specific type of brain cell affected by Huntington's disease, an ultimately fatal neurodegenerative disorder. The researchers at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis demonstrated that these converted cells survived at least 6 months after injection into the brains of mice and behave similar in native cells in the brain. The research involved human skin cells rather than more commonly studied mouse cells or even human cells at the early age of development. In regard to potential future therapies, the ability to convert adult human cells presents the possibility of using a patient's own skin cells. The rest of your Superhuman News is coming up in 1 minute on the Superhuman Radio Network.
If you've got aches and pains that keep you from doing the things you love, it could be chronic inflammation. Listen to what Sherry has to say about Relief Factor.
Last year, I had my right and my left hip replaced. Everything went well with the surgery, but I was having pains in my thighs. I thought maybe this system might be helpful to me. So I ordered some, and kind of like a miracle, I don't have pain in my thighs at all anymore. And for anyone out there that has aches or pains from whatever exercise surgery, they should give it a try because it worked for me, and it will more than likely work for you, too.
Relief Factor helps the body heal by itself naturally. For more information or to order the special 2-week quick start for only $19.95, go to ReliefFactor.com. You'll see testimonials that will simply amaze you. Get the pain relief you need now by ordering the 2-week quick start for only $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com.
With the rest of your Superhuman News Update, I'm Elliot Turton. Unconscious information and decision-making. Information obtained unconsciously might influence decision-making accuracy. According to a study, previous studies have suggested that unconsciously processed stimuli may influence behavior. Alexandra Vaslova and colleagues investigated whether unconscious exposure to varying levels of information relevant to a decision influenced the accuracy of the decision. In each of 10 experiments, between 5 and 10 participants were asked to make decisions about the direction of moving dots presented to one eye. In each of 10 experiments, between 5 and 10 participants were asked to make decisions about the direction of moving dots presented to one eye. The dots were suppressed by conscious awareness by flashing salient motion patterns to the other eye. The authors found that unconsciously processed information improved decision accuracy when it was consistent with information gathered consciously and decreased accuracy when it was contradictory. Using computational modeling, the authors demonstrated that the unconscious information processing may be explained by models that explain conscious decision-making, with the key difference that the quality of the information gathered unconsciously is reduced. Participants did not demonstrate improved confidence in their decision-making, suggesting that they were unaware that the unconscious information had influenced their decision accuracy, according to the authors. Let's talk about unconscious processing of social cues by infants. Human ability to unconsciously detect emotion and direction of focus by viewing a person's eye whites is present in infancy, according to a study. Large visible sclerae are unique to humans and can communicate emotions such as fear or indicate the direction of focus. Sarah Jessen and Tobias Grossman showed images of sclerae to 7-month-old infants to determine whether babies, like adults, are stimulated by expressive sclerae. This has been your Superhuman News Update. I'm Elliot Turton for the Superhuman Radio Network.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back. It's Monday, the beginning of a new week, and we're going to start out with addressing some very, very important topics this morning. Okay, during the first hour, we're going to have Professor Charles Benbrook on the show from Washington State University. We've had a lot of people from Washington State University on recently, especially last week we had Dr. Skinner on talking about the transgenerational epigenetic effects of Agent Orange. Today we're going to be talking about the superweeds that are spawned by glyphosate, which many of you may know as Roundup. Later in the show, we're going to have Sharon Perry on, and she is the founder of Agent Orange Legacy. They're going to be talking about their mission to spread the word about the effects of Agent Orange as well. So let's get started right away. Professor Benbrook, how are you?
I'm fine.
Welcome to the show. And I will refer to you as Chuck, as you expressed a little while ago, so I don't want people to think that I'm being disrespectful as I refer to you that way.
That'd be fine.
Okay, first of all, WSU looks like they're doing a lot of really important work in this area right now about pesticides and herbicides. This is really critical and critical timing as well. Is that true? Are you guys really rolling up your sleeves over there and looking at and answering some of these hard questions?
Oh, I think that's true. There's a real commitment on in the College of Agriculture at WSU to give a hard look using state-of-the-art science on all of the major systems and production inputs that farmers rely on. And there's been long-standing concern about the safety and environmental impacts of 2,4-D in particular, that many scientists at the in WSU have been involved in, from Dr. Skinner's work on multi-generational epigenetic changes to work on drift and crop damage and the like. One of the amazing things about 2,4-D is this phenoxy herbicide is so toxic to certain types of plants, and an example is a cherry tree, that of such low levels of drift at the time when the cherry trees are blossoming and beginning to set fruit will disrupt that process at levels that cannot be measured below any instrumentation that's available today. And it's earned the reputation as sort of a stealth killer as a result.
Okay. Now, I've been saying something erroneously for weeks now, perhaps even longer. I've been saying incorrectly that Monsanto wants to introduce a watered-down version of Agent Orange so that they can cope with these superweeds that they're spawning as a result of their Roundup. And you said to me, so clear it up for the audience, please.
Okay. The seed biotech companies are working to introduce a number of next-generation corn, soybean, and cotton crops that are genetically engineered to resist multiple herbicides, including 2,4-D, which was one half of Agent Orange, and another related phenoxy herbicide called dicamba. Dow AgroScience is working in partnership with Pioneer, a DuPont company, is proposing to introduce the 2,4-D herbicide-tolerant corn and soybeans. Monsanto is working to bring dicamba or Banvil herbicide-tolerant crops to the market.
Is there equally bad information out there about dicamba? I'm just curious.
Dicamba and 2,4-D both are known to cause a number of cancers. They're both they both pose serious risks of reproductive problems, and in particular, failure to conceive. And they also both are implicated in birth defects. And both are prone to volatilization and drift. And when these herbicides drift onto your backyard garden or into your vineyard where you're trying to grow some grapes, bad things happen.
Now, I have to ask the logical question. You know, my audience is thinking it, and so I have to voice it. And you know, I have friends at several universities, big agricultural universities, University of Illinois in Champaign, and I know for a fact that they embrace pesticides and herbicides. And quite frankly, some of these schools stand in the shadow of monumental buildings built by Syngenta and Monsanto and so on. I have to say, well, first of all, I have to applaud and commend Washington State University, first of all, because this has to be making your university very, very unpopular for some of the funding that goes to other universities that look at these types of things with a little more tolerant eye. Are you guys losing friends out there in academia?
Well, I've made the move to academia just this summer, so I don't have a long track record. You know, I think your listeners should know that there's been an intense pressure to cut both the federal contribution and state contributions to our land grant universities. This has really gone back for 15 or 20 years now, and this has forced departments and professors at these public universities to seek more and more of their overall research funding from private companies, many of whom are more than willing to help support graduate education and research, but they also get to have a significant influence on the agenda. I really hope that not just at WSU but across the entire land grant system that we'll be able to get back to doing more research in the public interest as opposed to supporting the agenda of various companies.
Okay, and this is important. What can we do? And we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to focus specifically on your research, because it's really critical. And the message that is discovered in this research is extremely important. But what can people do? You know, I want the truth, Chuck. I want to know if these things are good or bad. I have no dog in this fight. I have no financial gain if these herbicides are used or not. What can people do to make sure that researchers like yourself and Dr. Skinner continue to get the kind of funding you deserve? Because the work that you're doing is for us. It's not for Big Agra. It really is for us. So what can people do?
Well, you know, I think they have to pay attention to what's going on. We've got a major farm bill passing through the Congress in Washington, D.C. It didn't make it through prior to the recess before the election, but it's one of the many major pieces of legislation that the Congress will have to deal with in the lame duck session. And, you know, I think it's important for members to hear about the importance of not eviscerating the research agencies, because there's some, you know, there's some significant risk of another deep round of cuts, and that will make it all the more difficult to carry out this kind of, you know, independent research.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dive deeper into Professor Benbrook's research, and I promise you this is important stuff for all of you, because the message out there is that we need GMO. It's less expensive for farmers in third world countries to use GMO crops. And this one study here may indicate that there's some falsehood in that. Never mind the additional exposure. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today. The brain plays the biggest role in strength and fatigue. The ergogenic effects of caffeine are a result of this fact. There's a new player that can give you greater confidence, clarity, and concentration that will translate to better performance in or out of the gym. Mindset from Haleo. Mindset was tested by the University of Tampa against caffeine and the placebo, and it outperformed them hands down. A stimulant-free pre-workout formula that's as effective as caffeine without the unwanted side effects. Get Mindset today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link in the Carl Recommends area. Mindset, the smart edge.
Everyone knows how important staying hydrated is for your health, but have you ever thought about what's in the water you're drinking? Truth is, it's not good. Stop second guessing and get the clearly filtered pitcher filter and drink with confidence, knowing that your water is pure. Clearly filtered water filters eliminate dozens of harmful contaminants that can keep you from achieving optimal hydration and peak performance. Don't put up with mediocre water. You deserve better. Click the Superhuman Radio banner ad now and get an exclusive SHR package discount and free shipping.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Professor Charles Benbrook from Washington State University about his recent research on the superweeds being spawned by the herbicides used on corn, soy, and cotton, genetically modified variants of these crops. Okay, so first of all, I mean, it's been rumored, and lots of people have been talking about this, that the weeds are getting stronger as a result of being exposed to the Roundup. And so your group really looked at it and created a peer-reviewed paper, correct?
Yes, we did.
How did you design this study so that it would be fair-handed and above board?
Well, on the question of the presence and spread of so-called glyphosate-resistant weeds, which have been called in the popular media superweeds. And you know, they're super in to the extent that they can withstand applications of this glyphosate or Roundup herbicide that 5 years ago would bring about a high level of control in a farmer's field, and today it doesn't. The information on the spread of superweeds came from two places in my research. One is what's called the International Survey of Herbicide-Resistant Weeds. It's a internationally supported database on the internet that documents cases where a particular herbicide-resistant weed has emerged in a state or in a province, and they provide information about the number of acres that are infested and what the crop was and things of that nature. The other major source is a recent survey carried out by Dow AgroSciences as part of their regulatory submission to the U.S. Department of Agriculture in support of their new 2,4-D corn. And the information in this Dow survey is really striking and would suggest that as many as 60 or 70 million acres and possibly even 100 million acres today in the United States are infested with these glyphosate-resistant weeds. And if it's anywhere near that level, and many experts believe that it is, we're really talking about then about a third of the acres planted each year to these genetically engineered Roundup-ready crops are dealing with this resistant weed problem.
Now, this is really, I don't know, irking to me that Dow is going, look, you know, you have to let us use 2,4-D because we've created this mess. And, you know, that is just shocking to me, number one, that they're using the argument that we've created this mess to support the introduction of this new product. But isn't it logical? I mean, I'm not a scientist at all. I mean, you know, I use some critical thinking skills pretty effectively, but one of my critical thinking skills keeps telling me, well, if it happened to Roundup, it's going to happen to 2,4-D. If you start using 2,4-D, these plants are going to genetically morph again and become stronger and resistant to 2,4-D. Where do we go then? Nuclear radiation? I mean, what do we do?
Well, as a matter of fact, there's already 8 important weed species in the United States that are resistant to 2,4-D. and one of the really troublesome weeds that most farmers are confronted with, common water hemp, populations of that resistant to 2,4-D were just this past year documented in the state of Nebraska. So it is irrefutable that if 2,4-D herbicide tolerant crops are widely grown, it will only be a matter of time, and by that I think 3 to 5 years before a new generation of 2,4-D resistant weeds emerge and spread to the point where the effectiveness of these phenoxy herbicides goes the way of glyphosate, where Monsanto today is recommending 3 or even 4 applications of Roundup on a crop that 10 or 12 years ago, in the early stages of the adoption of this technology, a single application of Roundup often resulted in good season lawn weed control. So this is farmers have really been lured onto what we call a herbicide treadmill, and that treadmill is really going to be kicked into high gear in the next few years if the USDA approves this next generation of genetically engineered crops that are designed to be resistant to multiple herbicides, as many as 6 or 8 of them, it's just a very troublesome course the farmers are being forced to go down, because after all, you know, we have to remember that farmers have to buy the seeds that the seed and biotech industry are willing to produce and sell them.
Right.
And the seed industry's got to step up and help solve this problem.
You know, we're talking about this in a level of discussion that is very scientific and sterile. I'm scared Chuck. I'm scared because, first of all, the ramifications of your research also extrinsically shows that these crops are more costly, not less costly to raise. The original assumption was, look, you spray less, you spray it right on everything. You just spray everything. It's like the scorched earth approach, but only the weeds die. The corn, the soy continues to grow. And you just have to, like you said, you just have to spray it once. So look, look what your herbicide cost is going to be. Now they're saying four applications. So the original reason for this was a greater level of economic impact. That's kind of gone out the window, as far as I'm concerned. Am I wrong on that? I know you didn't look at this economically, but is that a fair assumption to say it's actually at least as expensive, if not more expensive, to do the Roundup ready crops as it is to do the non-genetically modified variants?
Well, actually, I have analyzed the changes in the costs of Roundup ready technology.
Excellent.
Over time. It's not in this paper, but when the technology first came out, it really worked very well. It was simple, it was forgiving. And farmers really embraced it rapidly, but the problem is they came to rely so heavily on it that they triggered changes in weed populations and ultimately the emergence of genetically resistant weeds. And as a result, they've had to add more and more herbicide into their system, and now their overall weed control costs are significantly higher than they were back in the day when the technology was first introduced. And you know, this is a major concern. I mean, a portion of the net farm income that our corn and soybean and cotton farmers, held for them and their families to keep their farms healthy, a decent chunk of that now has really been transferred to the seed biotech industry to pay for these genetically engineered seed varieties. Corn seed is four times more than what it was in the pre-GE era. Cotton, genetically engineered cotton seed, costs six times what conventional cotton seed costs.
Does it yield? Is there a greater yield per acre when you use it?
None of the current genetically engineered traits in the market were designed to add intrinsic yield potential to corn, soybeans, or cotton. They're all pest management related. So on farms where the new traits actually help the farmer control weeds more effectively or reduce insect feeding damage, there can be a modest to even a significant yield increase. But for the most part, American farmers do an excellent job in controlling weeds and insects, and they have not traditionally allowed weeds and insects to cost them much yield. The question has always been, what do they do to achieve that outcome? And in the case of these genetically engineered crops, it's provided them with a substantially different way to go about it. But because they've relied so heavily on it, it's no longer working nearly as well as the technology did when it was first introduced.
And then comes the real agenda here, or the real issue for me, the scary part for me, and that is, you know, if the USDA says, yeah, you guys can go ahead and dig yourselves out of this mess temporarily, because we know that the same thing's going to happen to the crops when you start using 2,4-D the same way you used Roundup, if they allow them to start spraying these crops with something like 2,4-D or the other one that Monsanto wants to put out, which is
dicamba.
What about, I mean, does anybody remember that this stuff is for food? Like what? It's not like you're going, yeah, we're going to rub, this chemical all over this piece of equipment that's going to sit in your garage. People are going to be ingesting this stuff. Does the USDA or anybody realize that we have to eat this stuff then? Like, it's dangerous? It's dangerous.
Well, in the way that the responsibility for reviewing and regulating genetically engineered crops is divided up across the federal government makes almost no sense. If you were designing a modern science-driven regulatory infrastructure, you certainly wouldn't do it the way things were cobbled together back by Dan Quayle in the second Reagan administration, for God's sake.
Who, by the way, has the noted, he approved the first genetically modified crop, the
Correct. That was the early history of it. Goes back.
The guy
that
who
far.
Couldn't spell potato changed the potato.
Well, you know, there's some truth to that because a genetically engineered potato was one of the first that came through the process. But the USDA simply does not have a role in assessing the food safety or human health consequences of genetically engineered crops. That falls into the domain of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act for one set of genetic engineering traits, and in particular the herbicide tolerant traits, the so-called BT or insect protected traits that are engineered into corn and cotton. Those are regarded as an insecticide because the companies make an insect control claim. And so for those, it's the EPA that does the safety evaluation.
Oh, my God. So if you wanted to create a system that could not work, you would compartmentalize it the way this has been compartmentalized then.
Oh, it's a terribly dysfunctional system. And the government scientists, the ones that really want to try to keep up, they're really hampered by the policies. And the companies are allowed to, even with government agencies, not disclose many critical pieces of information that are required to do the safety evaluations. And frankly, I think one of the things that I hope the American public will start to insist on is more independent government-funded research on the long-term health consequences of these technologies, because that kind of work it hasn't been done by anyone, and to the extent that there's any research out there on long-term health impacts of the kind that Dr. Skinner spoke about, epigenetic changes during fetal development, for example, no one has done that work, and it really needs to be done by independent scientists that are not beholden to any interest group or any company and are just trying to apply the best science possible to understanding whether there might be some subtle long-term risks associated with this technology that we've missed. I am a bit worried about that.
It's scary. It is. But you know what? I say it's scary not from the standpoint of like a conspiracy theorist. It's scary, but I know what I need to do. I mean, I buy nothing. The only thing I buy from my grocery store is bottled water and cleaning detergents, and that's it. Everything else I buy from, I have a family farm that I do business with, a wonderful Mennonite family. I buy my raw unpasteurized milk from them, my eggs, my produce, my chickens. In fact, I put my order in for my turkey. My turkey will be alive the day before I pick it up. So, I mean, you know, this is, and this is what people need to start doing. You need to start. Well, we need to take a break. That's what we need to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Obviously, we lost Professor Chuck, but we're going to get him back on the air here in just a second. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. AgeForce has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Whey Isolate is the fastest way to build muscle by flooding the bloodstream with bodybuilding amino acids. Now, Divine Nutrition gives you the best flavors in the world of the best whey isolate available. Divine Nutrition's Whey Isolate comes in pumpkin spice, vanilla peanut butter, or cinnamon bun. You can save 30% off a 2.5-pound jug by using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and look for Divine Nutrition in Carl Recommends today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
I did it again, baby.
The ladies are gonna love you.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Cheryl Thompson about the linkage between inadequate amounts of sleep and the more aggressive breast cancers. You talked earlier in the show that some colleagues or there has been other research that looked at the linkage between breast cancer in general, its prevalence, and sleep. Can you talk a little bit about that for the audience so they get a better feel that this is not just for those who have breast cancer to keep it from becoming aggressive, but maybe its linkage to developing it in the first place?
Now there is a body of literature out there with respect to sleep, either duration or just kind of generally disruptions in the circadian rhythm. So there's a bunch of different studies, and there's some amount of mixed results with regard to them. But I think the overall consensus is that, you know, poor sleep does lead to a somewhat increased risk of many different cancers, including breast cancer. There's been studies done on, you know, breast cancer and colorectal were kind of some of the big ones, but there has been some in prostate cancer and many other cancers as well. And I think just the general consensus is that, you know, just having a good night's sleep and good quality sleep is good to, is integral to reducing our risk of breast cancer and other cancers too. But not just women.
No, everybody, exactly.
There's
lots of information out there that kind of points to the fact that, or points to the notion that somehow inflammation disrupts apoptosis, which seems to be a precursor for
some of these tumor growths. Is there any indication that sleep duration plays a role in either quenching or affecting inflammatory markers?
You know, I don't know that literature well, but there is definitely literature out there on sleep, and there's actually many different mechanisms. And it's, you know, that's one of the things about cancer in general is the more we learn, the more we realize how complex it is. And all these things, and just really our biology in general is so complex. And so inflammation is one thing. I mean, there's just, you know, just many markers of, you know, I think you had mentioned kind of insulin resistance,
right,
and, you know, that type of, and insulin in general before. I mean, there's a lot of biological processes that are, you know, regulated by sleep, and even not directly regulated by sleep, you know, caused, you know, also related to things that sleep are important to, such as obesity. You know, we know that people who don't get, you know, enough sleep have much higher risk of obesity. Although there's a little chicken and the egg thing with that as well sometimes. And it's also, sleep is associated sometimes with physical activity. We know people who get a lot of physical activity tend to have fewer problems with getting a good night's sleep.
Isn't that funny? I know. You know, it's, well, think about it. I mean, I remember days where, you know, a storm came through and I ended up spending an entire Saturday and an entire Sunday cutting and hauling logs out of my backyard. Mm-hmm. And boy, I slept the best on those nights because I was exhausted. And there's emerging research now, you know, to go along with the hunter-gatherer diet, that there's some sort of linkage to the hunter-gatherer lifestyle. I've had Matt Lalonde on the show. I've had several people talk about, you know, this, the locomotive period, the photo period, the period of time that primes that darn suprachiasmatic nuclei again. In the daytime, the way sleep primes it at night, that, you know, the more active you are during the day, real physical activity, the better you sleep at night, because it primes the body to sleep better. It's not just a function of sheerly being exhausted at the end of the night. It's part of that, the suprachiasmatic nuclei looking back at the previous day and then looking forward at what it anticipates tomorrow to be, that actually precipitates a better night's sleep. And most of us sit, like I do, for hours at a time behind a desk all day long.
Right.
You know, it's very frustrating sometimes. Talk a little bit about the younger premenopausal women for a moment, if you have any insights. Obviously, sleep does not seem to affect them, or the lack of sleep doesn't seem to affect them as much. Is that correct? You said that earlier?
Right. So the data I had didn't show that among those patients who were premenopausal, so they had, you know, when they were diagnosed with premenopausal breast cancer, really, there was not the association with sleep duration, typical sleep hours of night, sleep per night, and the aggressiveness of their breast cancer. So that data wasn't in my population. Although, you know, premenopausal breast cancer is less common, so perhaps if we had more patients, there might be a little bit of association there. But it was very strong in the postmenopausal, and I can say that it's not as strong as in the postmenopausal.
Which leads me to the question that I've asked dozens of times on the show over the past 8 years. We understand that in men we have androgen-dependent cancers, supposedly, and in women we have estrogen-dependent cancers, supposedly, because we know that when these hormones are present, these cancers seem to thrive better, for lack of, you know, any other evidence. Yet, when these hormones are at their highest in our early years, 20s and even up through our 30s, the effects are either mitigated by some unknown mechanism or they are actually protective against cancers. Because, you know, this notion that, well, estrogen causes cancer, so we have to do estrogen blockade therapy on these women who are going through or gone through menopause. It begs the question, if these cancers are depending, or if estrogen is the cause of these cancers, then why doesn't every 19 and 20-year-old, you know, girl whose hormones are at the highest that they'll ever be developing these types of cancers?
Yeah, well, I think the fundamental principle of cancer, though, is that a cancer is caused by genetic mutations.
Right.
So you have to accumulate the mistakes in your DNA that will cause a tumor to develop in the first place. And that's typically a response to oftentimes genetic mutations that are already there. That's why, you know, people who had the BRCA1 gene, for example, the mutation in there, already have a predisposing mutation. So maybe getting that second or third hit that's required for cancer is a lot easier than in somebody who doesn't have that. But typically, we accumulate these mutations through aging, and that's why, for the most part, cancer is a disease of older people.
So, and obviously, you said earlier that that sleep seems to cause or at least inhibit the repair of our DNA to some degree,
right? Because we know that it's our circadian rhythm regulates DNA repair in every cell in our body, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So theoretically, if you could do things that would protect your DNA, like getting adequate sleep, like avoiding toxins as much as possible, and anything else that could have a damaging effect. You know, quite frankly, we're a society that's in love with alcohol. But I talked about a study just last week, I think it was, that shows that they've discovered the link between how alcohol changes DNA to promote breast cancer. And so, you know, if the fewer of these risky behaviors that you indulge in, then maybe you can, you know, turn the tide on your genetics, so to speak.
Well, I think, you know, the other thing that sleep's really, you know, associated with, and this all ties everything in together, is it's, you know, good amounts of sleep or poor amounts of sleep is associated with premature aging. You know, we want to stay as young as possible, and the number one way to do that is to get a good night's sleep, have a healthy diet, get a good amount of exercise. And so sleep is definitely one of those things to, you know, to keep ourselves healthy. And I think, you know, ties in with the, you know, we don't want to age our DNA anymore either. You know,
right.
How we look on the outside is what most people care about, but, you know, it's yourselves too.
Yes, no, I agree 100%. We're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you what you learned in this study that you felt was surprising or unique, and also what you want the audience to take away from the study. We're talking with Dr. Cheryl Thompson about the linkage between inadequate amounts of sleep and the more aggressive breast cancers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
If you've got aches and pains that keep you from doing the things you love, it could be chronic inflammation. Listen to what Jerry has to say about Relief Factor.
I spend a lot of time working in my yard, and a lot of aches and pains develop from that. And it doesn't happen anymore because of Relief Factor. I take it, and when I get up in the morning, there's no pain. And I try to get everyone I know to get started because I know it can help them. Plus, my son, who's 43 years old, has shoulder pain all the time. At least he had shoulder pain all the time until I got him started. I tell everyone I meet who has aches and pains to try Relief Factor. It sure worked for me.
Relief Factor helps the body heal by itself naturally. For more information or to order the special 2-week quick start for only $19.95, go to ReliefFactor.com. You'll see testimonials that will simply amaze you. Get the pain relief you need now by ordering the 2-week quick start for only $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
When you talk about recovery, one product has emerged as the established category killer, MassPro Synthogen, formulated by SHR's own BPPH answer man, Rob Regish. Synthogen works from the very first dose to help you bounce back fast. It fuels, it feeds, and flat out outperforms anything else on the market. Discover the power yourself by clicking the Synthogen link in the Carl Recommends tab on superhumanradio.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, I've often thought about the fact that we need a lobbying group for American people. Just the way companies have lobbyists out there trying to win favor and push bills and blah, blah, blah. You know, we need some way to organize and mobilize our opinions. We need a way to send money to schools like WSU. So that they can continue to do this research, because we are the benefactors. People are the benefactors of this, not the industries. This is really good stuff. That's my opinion of it, because I don't want to eat corn. First of all, I don't eat corn, but I don't want to eat anything that has been sprayed with something that we just don't know enough about. And, you know, it doesn't unfold. The answers don't unfold to us, you know, for an entire generation. Professor Benbrook, what do you want people to take away from this research, and what is the future hold in store in the research that you're doing?
Well, I think it's important for the American public to understand that the decisions that they make in the supermarket every time they shop and where they eat at restaurants, it collectively is sending signals to the food industry about the kind of agricultural system and food system that the public wants, and it's really consumers are believe it or not driving this train, and so you know, the more that they become aware of what's going on in the food system and express their choices in the marketplace in a thoughtful way, I think the faster farmers will be able to innovate in ways that leave us all better off. And in terms of my work, I've been doing this sort of work for over 30 years, and I'm interested in developing science-driven methods to quantify the impact of different farming systems and technology, for example, genetically engineered crops, quantify the impacts on both food nutritional quality and food safety as well as on the environment. It's a very complicated and dynamic research challenge, but it's what keeps me busy at my day job.
You know, did you happen to see, I'm sure you heard about the French study that looked at GMO corn?
The Sterlini study. Yep, yeah, sure.
I mean, now, and we've talked about this study, that while this study may not have been well designed, Adele Moussa, who is a contributor to the show, is a genius. The guy is brilliant, makes me look smart, came on the show and we talked about it, and he said, look, you know, the most important thing about this study, it's getting people to talk about this. It's probably going to end up yielding more meaningful research as a result, because there might have been some flaws in the study that would point to skewed results and blah, blah, blah. But now people are talking about it, and people are really talking about that study. Do you have any opinions of that study? Do you think that the study was not well designed? Were there inherent incorrect issues in the study?
Well, I mean, actually, it was probably the most carefully designed and carried out study of its kind, and it's also the first one that's gone on long enough to see the full range of long-term effects that you know, we all worry about. It's definitely true that the cancer findings in the study, which are very explosive and have gotten a lot of attention,
right,
to put a lot of confidence in the impact of the genetically engineered corn and the glyphosate on cancer would require carrying out a study with at least 50 animals per treatment group, and the French team used only 10. But you gotta remember, this was like almost a 3 million euro study,
right,
with just 10 animals in a group, and to do it really properly, the study would probably cost somewhere between $5 and $10 million. And thus far, no government around the world has been willing to put up that kind of money to do this, very careful and detailed work. Plus, it needs to be replicated in at least 3 different species of laboratory animals, because, to really draw a conclusion of an increased cancer risk, you need to replicate the results in at least 2 or 3 different strains of rats, so that you don't end up reaching a positive conclusion when in fact it just was an artifact because of the species of laboratory animal that you use. So it does look like the French government is committed now to putting on the table the kind of money that is necessary to do this work. But this is only one example,
right,
of the food safety research that hasn't been done, and we've got a lot of catching up to do to deploy state-of-the-art science to the safety of these crops.
Yeah, and I'm such a proponent of ancestral diets, and when we talk about ancestral diets, we're not talking about just food classifications, but trying to find foods that have not been tampered with, which is becoming increasingly harder. I look at that. I mean, I've been an opponent of genetically modified crops simply because I don't know what the potential is. You know, I'd rather err on the side of caution. I think as a civilization, we have run amok with our thinking that we know better than science, that, you know, we are scientists and we know better than nature. I'm sorry. And we can predict what things are going to do and how it's going to work. And we're just very willy-nilly about what we expose ourselves to. And it's coming back to roost. I think that all the diseases out there, you know, like you said before, there's no silver bullet. You can't say, oh, here's the culprit, just get rid of that. No, it's everything we've done to ourselves, that we've done to the water, that we've done to the air, that we've done to the land, that we've done to the food, that we've embraced for, 150 years. These are the things that are causing all the problems today. And shedding each and every one of them is a very, very difficult task. Shedding one of them is difficult. But I look at that study and I just say, it could be that those rats were predisposed to these types of tumors. It could be a lot of things, but I think I'm just going to stay away from genetically modified foods, and I'm going to continue to stay away from them until I feel confident that there is nothing that it's going to do harmful to me. That's my opinion.
Well, that's your choice, but it's a tough one to put in place, because genetically engineered foods aren't labeled in the United States. The only way consumers can reliably get non-genetically engineered food is either to buy organic or to buy products that bear the non-GMO project label.
Right. And you're right. You're right. And we're hoping that Prop 37 gets through in California, because if California can get on, and my goodness, the money that's being dumped into California to promote the pro-GMO side of this is just unbelievable. But if Prop 37 goes through in California, it's just a matter of time where all states will have a genetically modified food label, because companies are not going to make a box of Wheaties just for California and then another box for the rest of the country. So we're going to inherit the benefits of that.
I mean, it really goes beyond that. I mean, most civilized countries around the world have a genetically engineered food labeling a requirement in place, and the U.S. is increasingly isolated among its trading partners, and and just to gain access to, you know, vital overseas markets for our farmers and food industry, we're going to have to get with the program and start labeling. And I think it's not going to be nearly as painful or as costly as some of the opponents of Proposition 37 allege in California.
Well, last question: How are the students with the type of research that you're doing? I've got to believe that this has to be something that, you know, I remember being in college and being an idealist. I got to believe that the students are embracing this kind of research. Am I right?
The sustainable ag and organic curriculum at Washington State University is really the most developed of any land grant university in the country, and one of the reasons they're pushing it so hard is that they've got strong demand from students. They've got students wanting to come across the country to go to college at Washington State University because of the curriculum that they offer and this critical mass of scientists who have become part of the faculty, where, you know, it's safe to do serious research on these topics at WSU.
That's exciting. Listen, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to come on the show today.
My pleasure.
Okay. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Sharon Perry and her daughter Dee on. They operate the Agent Orange Legacy website for those who were exposed to Agent Orange, and they have an interesting discussion. We're going to talk about their mission, because October is Agent Orange Awareness Month, and people need to be aware of this, as we found out during this interview just moments ago. 24D is, you know, they're looking to reintroduce it into agriculture. You could be coming in contact with Agent Orange. Let's hear from people who have people who were. We'll learn more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel, clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception, because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
With your Superhuman News Update, I'm Elliot Turton. By analyzing DNA extracted from petrous bones and skulls of ancient Europeans, scientists have identified that these people remained intolerant to lactose, known better as milk sugar, for 5,000 years after they adopted agricultural practices and 4,000 years after the onset of cheese making among Central European Neolithic farmers. The findings published online in the scientific journal Nature Communications also suggest that major technological transitions in Central Europe between the Neolithic, Bronze Age, and Iron Age were also associated with major changes in the genetics of these populations. The researchers state that this means that these ancient Europeans would have had domesticated animals like cows, goats, and sheep, but they would not yet have genetically developed a tolerance for drinking large quantities of milk from mammals. Moreover, our results also imply that the great changes in prehistoric technology, including the adoption of farming, followed by the first use of hard metals, bronze, and then iron, were each associated with the substantial influx of new people. We can no longer believe that these fundamental innovations were simply absorbed by existing populations in a sort of cultural osmosis. Human skin cells reprogram directly into the brain. Scientists have described a way to convert human skin cells directly into a specific type of brain cell affected by Huntington's disease, an ultimately fatal neurodegenerative disorder. The researchers at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis demonstrated that these converted cells survived at least 6 months after injection into the brains of mice and behaved similar in native cells in the brain. The research involved human skin cells rather than more commonly studied mouse cells or even human cells at the early age of development. In regard to potential future therapies, the ability to convert adult human cells presents the possibility of using a patient's own skin cells. The rest of your Superhuman News is coming up in 1 minute on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
With the rest of your Superhuman News update, I'm Elliot Turton. Unconscious information and decision-making. Information obtained unconsciously might influence decision-making accuracy. According to a study, previous studies have suggested that unconsciously processed stimuli may influence behavior. Alexandra Vaslova and colleagues investigated whether unconscious exposure to varying levels of information relevant to a decision influenced the accuracy of the decision. In each of 10 experiments, between 5 and 10 participants were asked to make decisions about the direction of moving dots presented to one eye. In each of 10 experiments, between 5 and 10 participants were asked to make decisions about the direction of moving dots presented to one eye. The dots were suppressed by conscious awareness by flashing salient motion patterns to the other eye. The authors found that unconsciously processed information improved decision accuracy when it was consistent with information gathered consciously and decreased accuracy when it was contradictory. Using computational modeling, the authors demonstrated that the unconscious information processing may be explained by models that explain conscious decision-making, with the key difference that the quality of the information gathered unconsciously is reduced. Participants did not demonstrate improved confidence in their decision-making, suggesting that they were unaware that the unconscious information had influenced their decision accuracy, according to the authors. Let's talk about unconscious processing of social cues by infants. Human ability to unconsciously detect emotion and direction of focus by viewing a person's eye whites is present in infancy, according to a study. Large visible sclerae are unique to humans and can communicate emotions such as fear or indicate the direction of focus. Sarah Jessen and Tobias Grossman showed images of sclerae to 7-month-old infants to determine whether babies, like adults, are stimulated by expressive sclerae. This has been your Superhuman News Update. I'm Elliot Turton for the Superhuman Radio Network.
If you've got aches and pains that keep you from doing the things you love, it could be chronic inflammation. Listen to what Dave has to say about Relief Factor.
In 1953, I was in a sawmill accident. In the hospital, they cleaned out the wound and stitched me up and sent me home without taking an x-ray. I limped for 60 years. I listened to Dr. Mixon on the radio, and I decided to order it. And 4 days later, after I received it, I couldn't believe it. For the first time in 60 years, I can walk without limping. I encourage anybody with pain to do yourself a favor and do what I did, order the product. It could work for you just like it did for me.
Relief Factor helps the body heal by itself naturally. For more information or to order the special 2-week quick start for only $19.95, go to ReliefFactor.com. You'll see testimonials that will simply amaze you. Get the pain relief you need now by ordering the 2-week quick start for only $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is Adele Musa. This is the Science in the News Roundup with Adele Musa, author of the single best blog on the internet, bar none, Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Check it out. How you doing, Adele?
I'm doing fine. But you know that those compliments always have nice and like a flush effect on me.
I know.
Just that we don't have webcam yet installed.
Well, you know what? And Adele, I have to let people in on something. Adele gets very, not upset, but he becomes uncomfortable whenever I compliment him about, you know what? I'm just saying what everybody else is saying about you, but I'm saying it on the air. And Adele always says to me, you know, I wish you wouldn't say those things about me, but it's the truth. I think that you're brilliant. Not only are you brilliant, but you have mastered communication. You write a blog, you create your own graphic images, you write the blog with the precision of content and quality that any major magazine does, and you do it all by yourself while you have a full teaching schedule. You know, you teach at a major university in Germany. It's a lot to be applauded. So there you go. Blush a little bit. It's okay. Anyway. Okay, we want to talk about something just to touch on, because I kind of teased with it in the last segment with Dr. Cheryl Thompson about the effects of sleep on breast cancer. And you sent me a nice little study and asked the question I would have asked. It says that impaired sleep may be linked to the development of Alzheimer's disease. But both you and I suspect it's exactly the opposite, don't we?
Yeah, because we are currently realizing how important it is not only to sleep, but also to have a certain circadian rhythm and to follow a certain circadian rhythm. And we know that many older people, maybe they are getting enough sleep, but oftentimes they wake up in the middle of the night, or they stay up late and they don't follow the normal sleeping cycle. And when we are thinking about melatonin, we all know that in those short naps that makes the fit for you to recover and to be able to function for the rest of the day, you won't get the same amount of melatonin released from the specific cells in your brain. And with melatonin being not just one of the circadian clock rhythm regulators, as you may call them, or sight givers, but also having so profound anti-inflammatory effects, not just Alzheimer's, but also other diseases can take over of your body much easier when you are not allowing yourself the necessary recovery, not just in terms of lying around and doing nothing, but also in terms of having those natural regularities and those natural cycles in which your body regenerates and rejuvenates. And therefore, I would suspect that, and this is just another case where you have the classic question, which is the chicken and which is the egg? But in the end, it appears as if we would be able to answer the question in the future, and saying that much of what, or many of the diseases actually we are seeing today, are at least their progress is at least accelerated by rhythm abnormalities. And I think most of the listeners will already have heard about the idea of lights out, that is, going to bed when the sun sets and rising when the sun rises in the morning. And this rhythm is really important because it is directly wired into our brain and controls many other endocrine, that is hormonal, as well as metabolic functions in our body. And it's important to have those in sync to really function optimally.
Okay, and I have to correct myself. What I said at the beginning of this segment was that I got it wrong. What they're saying is in the study is that poor sleep is one of the first signs, but it's obviously something that probably leads to Alzheimer's disease. Let's move forward now to something and stay on the cancer track for a little while longer, because we have a lot of women who probably tuned in for the breast cancer, and I did a little teaser. There was a scientist in Washington State that I asked to come on the show, but he can't because he's hearing impaired. But we want to talk about his research. He actually did a very, very good study on the epigenetic effects of certain nutrients and how they affect the metastatic process of cancer, correct?
Yes, he did. And basically what he did is that he reviewed all the literature there is, and it's plenty, and it's always accumulating, and we are getting more and more information about those functions of, well, you said nutrients, and in a way they are, of course, nutrients, but in this case they are more or less also signaling molecules or triggers. And you always hear about a calorie not being a calorie, and in fact a calorie is, of course, a calorie. The only thing is that our bodies have no idea what a calorie is, and therefore the concept is basically meaningless for our physiology.
Right.
And on the other hand, we are always talking about micronutrient ratios, how many carbohydrates can you eat, how many fats can you eat, when really at the molecular level, all those carbohydrates and all those fats have different effects on our body. And what we are seeing now and what we subsume under the category of epigenetics is actually a two-sided or two-fold effect that those nutrients, or I should say those molecules, have on our body. And everything we eat interacts with our genes. And we are seeing now that some of these genes can be switched on and switched off. This is one function. But they can also be expressed to a higher degree or to a lower degree. And, for example, in the case of cancer, there are certain genes. All of them have relatively cryptic acronyms, and therefore it is actually difficult to read studies like that, because you will have to know all those acronyms and all those letter-figure combinations and understand what they do in order to even grasp the basic notion of
to make sense of a single paragraph. And quite often these acronyms have dual meaning in other areas of medicine. They use some of the same acronyms, but you have to know which ones you are talking about within which field of medicine that you're reading about. So,
yeah, and you also need to know actually which cell line was used in the study, and you need to know about the particular peculiarities of those cell lines, because some of them react differently. But in essence, there are three major functions, I would say, that are epigenetically regulated and very important in the when it comes to the effects of nutrients on cancer development. The first one is related to the direct suppression of cancerous growth and the supporting effects on what you could call the cleanup processes in your body, which won't allow cancer cells to form, or which will have deteriorated cells die before they even can become cancers. This is the first line. And the second one, for example, fish oil would fall in the category, is one that mainly inhibits that a single cancerous cell could spread and could, you could say, infect other cells and therefore proliferate. And a real cancerous growth can accumulate in your body. That is the second function. And the third one, where we are still only at the beginning, is kind of an internal or autonomous defense system that would enable your body to really shut down existing cancer cells, or at least to isolate them in a way that your body can get rid of them. And when we are looking at the list the scientists compiled, then we are seeing that there are a couple of the usual suspects on the list, like, for example, omega-6 fatty acids, linoleic acid, and arachidonic acid.
And just for a second, linoleic acid is most popular in the form of flaxseed oil. There's a lot of people out there who take flaxseed oil. And they take it because there's research out there that shows that it may have some effect on breast cancer, for instance. There's a lot of women out there taking flaxseed oil because of its linoleic acid content, because they've been told by their doctor that it may help them resist or reduce the risk of breast cancer. So what is your what do you think about linoleic acid?
I think you're just confusing linoleic acid and linoleic acid.
Oh, am
I?
Okay.
Yeah. One is an omega-6 fatty acid, that is linoleic acid with an E before the I, and the other one is omega-3 fatty acid. And people, the general idea is that flaxseed oil, which is pretty high in linoleic acid, which is a omega-3 fatty acid, that it will convert pretty readily to the same omega-3 fatty acids you will find in fish oil. Although women tend to convert it more readily than men, the conversion is rate limited, and it's pretty difficult to really achieve those levels that would help you protect yourself against cancer from flaxseed oil. And on the other hand, there are, of course, issues with potential estrogen-like side effects. Women usually don't care about that, but in the end, breast cancer is also facilitated by uncontrolled or out of control or too high estrogen levels,
unopposed,
in as much as it is by other factors. So I'm not quite sure if flaxseed oil is really cancer protective, and I think the actual studies on that are also not really conclusive.
Okay.
But
I'm sorry to have derailed you. So let's move back to linoleic acid. Now I see it, and arachidonic acid.
Yeah, exactly. The one is the precursor to the other. And those are, for example, compounds that actually reduce one of those epigenetic factors that will stop cancer from proliferating. And in a way, this is not unhealthy per se, because we know, for example, that when a mother is deficient in those omega-6 fatty acids, that the brain of the child won't grow. And you can have a child that has impaired neurological function. But on the other hand, when you are grown up and the only cells that are really proliferating in your body are cancer cells, then those proliferating effects are really dangerous for you. And this is the case for almost all of those nutrients and those interactions, that many of them are physiological. That means they are not in general bad, but in certain situations they can be very bad or very unfortunate. And in many cases they need to be balanced. For example, if you have the right balance between omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids, and especially the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil, which have the exact opposite effect, they do increase the same epigenetic factor, the omega-6 fatty acids decrease, then you are balanced. And this would be the optimal way to staff off cancer development.
Interesting. Now, what about gamma? Is it linoleic acid, GLA?
Yeah, it's linoleic acid. It's omega-6 fatty acid, and it's interesting because this is just another variety, and it's also quite popular among women to take this variety of quasi-anti-inflammatory omega-6 fatty acids. And it has exactly the opposite effect. And our bodies could actually produce a small amount of it on their own. But the balance is offset if you don't get enough omega-3 fatty acids to have a general balance between omega-6s and omega-3s. It won't help if you convert a little or a tiny amount of the overshoot of omega-6 fatty acids to GLA. And since we are not only having female listeners today, I would suspect that maybe the men are interested in the effects GLA has on the conversion of testosterone to DHT. although DHT is not the bad guy everybody wants to have it.
Right.
Too much of DHT can actually be a problem, and GLA has been shown to actually decrease or, I don't know, probably rather normalize the conversion of testosterone to DHT. So you see that even in different, in men and women, those nutrients have very different effects, and many of them are not directly related to cancer, but of course could be indirectly contribute to cancerous growth or to your protection against cancer.
All right, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, we've got a long list of these nutrients that either have a anti-cancer effect or pro-cancer effect. That we've already talked about, I've been corrected, linoleic acid and arachidonic acid, which apparently make it easier for tumors to spread. Now gamma-linoleic acid, which should thus reduce tumor cell motility, correct? When we come back, we're going to move on from there. We've got a long list. You're going to want to hear this. This is the Science in the News Roundup, where published science receives the Adel Moussa thumbs up or thumbs down or correction. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows how important staying hydrated is for your health, but have you ever thought about what's in the water you're drinking? Truth is, it's not good. Stop second guessing and get the Clearly Filter pitcher filter and drink with confidence, knowing that your water is pure. Clearly filtered water filters eliminate dozens of harmful contaminants that can keep you from achieving optimal hydration and peak performance. Don't put up with mediocre water. You deserve better. Click the Superhuman Radio banner ad now and get an exclusive SHR package discount and free shipping.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The brain plays the biggest role in strength and fatigue. The ergogenic effects of caffeine are a result of this fact. There's a new player that can give you greater confidence, clarity, and concentration that will translate to better performance in or out of the gym. Mindset from Haleo. Mindset was tested by the University of Tampa against caffeine and a placebo, and it outperformed them hands down. A stimulant-free pre-workout formula that's as effective as caffeine without the unwanted side effects. Get Mindset today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link in the Carl Recommends area. Mindset, the smart edge.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to Quest Apparel ketogenicapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. As we do the science of the news roundup. Right now we're talking about a study that points to some benefits of certain nutrients to help you resist the metastatic process of cancer. Later in the show, Adele is going to put the recent research that's all over the media about organic versus conventional to rest as he puts it through the Superhuman Radio sniff test. And trust me, he's dug up some stuff that's going to make you think differently about this subject, more so than what's going on in the mainstream media. Okay, Adele, let's pick it up with this one was a surprising one, the tocotrienols, which is a form of vitamin E that's getting a lot of... I'm sorry, I went too far. Lycopene, I apologize. Lycopene.
Well, lycopene is... I think it's somewhat mislabeled as... or it's not mislabeled, but it's often misunderstood as being a carotene. Of course, it's a carotene because somebody put it in the category of carotene, but we are... that does not mean it's like beta carotene, but it's just a compound that is found in a similar group of foodstuff. And somebody put it in the category because of molecular similarities. And it's another of those which appears to be really effective in inhibiting the proliferation. And this is quite interesting because it's particularly rich in tomatoes, for example. And I've only recently had in the news on the Subversity that tomato powder has just been found to be about as effective as aspirin in cancer protection. And it has also similar anti-inflammatory effects in the colon, which could actually block the development of cancer. And hitherto we don't really understand how aspirin works, but the main idea or the most popular theory is that it relates to its anti-inflammatory effects. And in essence, it also counters the production of those prostaglandins, which are actually derived from the previously mentioned omega-6 fatty acids. And this is like a circle closing. And with the pro-proliferative, that is the pro-cancer molecules that will increase growth and, of course, also cancerous growth, and those which are rather suppressive or control this growth and put it into the right direction, lycopene would fall into the same category. And in a similar way, also CLA, that is conjugated linoleic acid, which is found, for example, in milk products, in butter, and especially in grass-fed butter or dairy products from grass-fed beef, is another of those fatty acids which appears to have to act via the same epigenetic pathway in order to prevent the development of cancer. On the other hand, you will always have to keep in mind that we are talking about relatively moderate levels, and when you're looking at how much of CLA you will find in real foodstuff, that is even in grass-fed beef and grass-fed butter, then it's a relatively tiny amount. And there have been some rodent studies people were really excited about, and I've also written about those on my blog, which showed that basically taking very, very high doses of CLA actually caused a kind of complete loss of body fat tissue in rodents.
Right.
And this may sound great, but in the end, it is just as pathological as cancer. So you will always have to try to balance nutrients and also to keep in mind what is a realistic amount and not just over-supplement with one. For example, in the case of CLA, just a few days ago, another study was published which showed that the monounsaturated fatty acids in olive oil, when they are present at the same time as CLA, then this pathological effect on body fat and the general inflammatory effects or side effects of very high doses of CLA appear to diminish. And when you think about the fatty acid composition of butter and of dairy, you will again realize that there is, of course, or there are, of course, monounsaturated fatty acids in those
right.
products. So it's always about having the right blend that, and not just a single isolated nutrient. And I think that's the same for what you mentioned before, the tocotrienols.
Yeah, this one was surprising to me because I take a whole vitamin E supplement that has all four tocopherols and all four tocotrienols. But this one shows that, as you point out, the same thing that happens with the CLA, that it actually can push some cells to undergo the conversion to malignant cancer cells, which is obviously something we don't want to do. So where's the balance in taking tocotrienols? Is it important to take them as a complex of complete tocopherols and tocotrienols as opposed to isolated? Is that where the magic is?
I think that's a question we can't answer. But on the other hand, this specific gene, on the one hand, it appears to be a driving force in the whole cycle of cancer cell development. On the other hand, it could also drive the cancer cell so far that it eats up itself. So we don't really know what the end effect will be of this. And this is also something people must keep in mind. All this research is still very much in its infancy. And you always have different options. You can switch a gene on, you can switch a gene off, you can express it to a higher degree or to a lower degree, and all this will have different effects. And one thing we often see in general physiology is that there is a certain turning point where something that's generally good, like drinking water, for example, becomes totally destructive. And this is not different for those molecular levers. So we cannot really say what will happen when you ingest tocotrienols in isolation. But in general, it comes back to the notion that you wouldn't find tocotrienols in high doses in isolation anywhere in nature. Actually, it's quite difficult to find them at all. If you're not using, for example, red palm oil.
Yeah, palm fruit oil, right.
Of a full spectrum vitamin E. Then you have hardly any of those tocotrienols. And while the researchers are excited, there are also a couple of people who are warning against our hitherto very incomplete knowledge of what will happen when you take those and, for example, take only those and totally discard the old, quote-unquote, old vitamin E, which is alpha-tocopherol or gamma-tocopherol. And even those, there's research that it's important to have them in the right ratios.
See, and that's why I keep coming back to this, that when you look at natural sources of complete vitamin E's, like the red palm fruit oil, for instance, it has specific ratios of the tocopherols and tocotrienols. And quite often the tocotrienols are in very, very small, much smaller percentages than the tocopherols. So
yeah, it's similar to for example a mineral like calcium, of which you find tons of in every food, and a mineral like, for example, chromium, which is a trace mineral.
Right.
That is about the ratio you will find in foods when it comes to tocotrienols and tocopherols.
Right.
But the other way around. Tocopherols are those you will find in abundance, and tocotrienols are those you will find only tiny amounts of.
One that gets a big thumbs up that is no surprise is fish oil. Let's talk a little bit about fish oil, especially I want you to also discuss the notion that some people take flaxseed oil, and I know you did a blog post about the best forms of DHA and EPA. A lot of people take flaxseed oil because they feel that it's going to give them the amount of omega-3s, and I think you kind of spoke to this before when I inadvertently mispronounced one of the acids. Is fish oil really the go-to way to get your omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, Adele?
Well, you could get your omega-6, and it sort of depends. You will have to keep in mind that the general diet we are consuming today is abundant in omega-6 fatty acids. And therefore, it's all the more important to get a balance in omega-3s. And although I'm really no great proponent of taking fish oil supplements in general or for everyone, it is quite certain that with the standard Western diet, you're having an overload of omega-6s. So yes, basically you have two ways, or actually you should progress on two strategies. You should try to limit your intake of omega-6s to not to zero, because as I mentioned before, you obviously need those as well. But you should try to watch it just because they are ubiquitous, almost ubiquitous in our diet. And on the other hand, you should try to consume more omega-3 fatty acids. And I'm not saying that flaxseed oil is not something that can contribute to the general to a general increase in omega-3 fatty acids, but it's something you should keep in mind, is that there is a limited amount of those enzymes which catalyze the reaction, or which will actually transform those omega-3 fatty acids into the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, DHA and EPA. And although we don't really understand the competition, one important factor is that the more omega-3 fatty acids you ingest, and the more of those will convert to arachidonic acid, the less enzymes you will have to do the conversion from omega-3s to omega from the short chain omega-3s to the longer chain omega-3s.
Right.
And when we are looking at those epigenetic levels, then it's always those long chain molecules which are actually effective in cancer prevention and in all those other areas, also metabolic areas, like, for example, the decrease in triglyceride levels and the subsequent increase in insulin sensitivity that has been ascribed to fish oil. And therefore, it does actually make sense, and especially for people who are maybe still a little overweight, it may make sense to really use supplements. On the other hand, you have to be cautious, because fish oils will also increase the tendency for bleeding. And I know that some women already have problems in this area. Men maybe not so much, but if you are somebody who has issues with that, you should keep, this would be one reason to keep it in check. And another thing is that those long-chain fatty acids from fish oil, they have a double-edged sword effect on the cortisol response. On the one hand, they keep cortisol in check. On the other hand, overconsumption, and especially oversupplementation with fish oils, can really suppress the normal cortisol response. And this will make you feel sluggish, and it's about as bad as having totally elevated cortisol levels. And it won't help you lose weight or become healthier if you're not getting back to the regular rhythm. And we have spoken about melatonin at the beginning, and cortisol is
reciprocal.
Yeah, it's reciprocal, exactly, because it's what's waking you up and what's shutting down melatonin in the morning, or I should rather say when melatonin is switched off by the light, then cortisol takes over and drives you. If you are thinking in paleolithical terms, it drives you until you are finding something to eat. And therefore, you really need the cortisol response in the morning, also because it is another of those, actually that's the German word, Zeitgebers, that is one of those triggering factors telling your body which time it is, and synchronizing metabolism and endocrine functions. And therefore, this is also a possible side effect.
Just real quick, Adele, not to belabor fish oil any longer, but there seems to be, in your notes here, those who have specific type of breast cancer cell called MDA-MB231, that the DHA, EPA found in fish oil seems to be beneficial for them. Is that true?
Well, that's just the cell line where they're studying the expression of those inhibitory factors. So I cannot tell, and I don't think even the doctor will generally tell you what kind of cancer cell you have. But it's quite funny. Sometimes those cancer cell lines have the name of the person.
They were first discovered,
isolated.
Right.
So I don't think this is really meaningful. But it's important, as I said before, for a scientist to understand there are certain particularities to this cancer types, cancer cell line, and sometimes nutrients will have different effects. And therefore, it's also often important to test different nutrients and especially medications on different cell lines. And otherwise, you will suddenly see no effect or the exact inverse effect when you test it in an animal, which is obviously not just a cell in a petri dish.
Okay, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, we've got more to this list that you're going to want to hear. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about vitamin D, my favorite thing to talk about. We're talking this hour with Adele Moussa, author of the blog Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Go get your dose of Supversity today. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Like how I have 22 and I'm something. Tennis for you, so who gon' get the next dozen?
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline and medium chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Sharon Perry and Dee Reyes, founders of Agent Orange Legacy. October is Agent Orange Awareness Month. You need to be aware of the damaging effects of Agent Orange. We have already lived through this. For those of you who remember Vietnam, I had a friend. His name was Terry, and he was a wonderful human being. Left two beautiful daughters behind and a beautiful wife. He was strong. He was robust. He died of Hodgkin's disease, which many of the men who died in the first line of deaths who were exposed to Agent Orange got Hodgkin's disease. And Terry died undergoing bone marrow transplant therapy. He was one of the strongest, kindest individuals I ever knew. I hunted with him all the time. He gave me a lot of wisdom that I carry today, and I still remember him. And we knew, all of us knew. His brother-in-law, Joey, was my best friend. We knew Terry got sick because he talked about the Agent Orange. He talked about how all the guys, a lot of the guys who were exposed to Agent Orange, they had flu-like symptoms immediately after being completely coated with this stuff because they were trying to kill, they were trying to deforest so that the troops could do better jobs, you know, shooting at the VC. And so they just, with a scorched earth approach, just dumped hundreds and thousands of gallons of this stuff down on the canopy, the treetops, and it just rained down on our guys. They were covered in this stuff. And many of them ended up, they knew, gee, this is not right. They had flu-like symptoms the next day, the day after, chills. They didn't feel right. They didn't feel good. And then they came home, and they went back to their normal lives, and they had children. And then years, some of them sooner than later, but years later, mysterious things started happening to them. They developed rare types of cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurological disorders. And the only thing all these guys had in common, some of them smoked, some of them didn't. Some of them were overweight, some of them weren't. Some of them were black, some of them white. But the one thing that they all had in common was they were all covered in Agent Orange during Vietnam. And you go to yourself, wait a minute. This killed a lot of people unnecessarily. Now it's affecting their families, generations. Poor, I mean, I feel bad for Dee because Dee, I gotta believe that your decision to have children must have been one where you had some inner conflict.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I was scared to death the whole time, through the entire pregnancy. I had terrible nightmares and I was just so happy that she was born with all her fingers and all her toes and everything, you know.
Right. Right.
It was definitely a scary experience.
You know, it's a scary experience having children to begin with for everybody involved, you know. But then to have this, like, you have this other shoe that's hanging in the air that you know about that no one else does. Like, wow, my dad was exposed to Agent Orange. I've got these mystery illnesses. I don't want to pass this on to a child. I don't, you know, what's going to happen to this child? And then how am I going to feel if something, now, God forbid, I hope that the contribution that you got from your husband kind of, you know, balances things out. Because no parent wants to know that their child has an illness because of them indirectly. And it, obviously, Dee, you didn't, it's not like you did something risky behavior. You just had the luck of the draw of your dad being exposed to this Agent Orange. And this is my frustration with this. It's one thing to live a crappy life and make bad decisions, use drugs, lots of alcohol, drive fast without a seatbelt. Those are all decisions you can make for yourself. But when you do something that affects great-great-grandchildren that you will never even meet, but they will remember you because they'll say, well, the reason you have that cleft palate, Joey, is because your great-great-granddad was exposed to Agent Orange. That's
exactly.
Terrible. That's terrible.
Yes, it is. It is. And it's definitely not fair. I know I've spent a good part of my life angry because of it. I mean, I have, I think, at the moment, the total is 29 or 30 illnesses that are, you know,
And it's got to be, not, you know what? It's one thing to have an illness, right? But most people, when they have some sort of an ailment, they go to the doctor says, it's this. So you immediately go, okay, at least I know what it is now. So now what do I do? But when you go to the doctor and you say, this is what I got, and the doctor goes, you know, it's in your head because I can't find any reason for it. You just want to, like, smack the doctor. Like, look, you really think that this is what I do with my day? Like, come here and tell you how I feel because this is a game to me? So it's not, it's like insult to injury, right?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, and I still go, I have things that are undiagnosed, you know, and the doctors just tell me, well, we don't know.
Do you ever restrain yourself? Like when you have something new, right? Like most of us, like I woke up this morning, I feel like I've got a cold coming on. Mm-hmm. But I bet when you feel that, you don't think, oh, I must have a cold coming on. You must think to yourself, oh my God, like is this yet something else that's about to rear its head? And then I got to imagine that you say to yourself, I am not going to a doctor and being made to feel like a nut. I'm just going to have to figure out what to do.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? It's not fun to go into a physician and tell them this is what's going on, and they look at you and say, well, we don't know.
Yeah.
And then not do anything further to find out what is going on. You have to go and do your own research and then bring it back to the doctor and say, okay, this is what I found, and this is what I think might be going on, and these are the tests that we need to do in order to rule this out.
And the truth is there's nothing they can do because – trying to identify epigenetic changes is virtually impossible unless you know exactly the changes that happened in the donor. So it's really
one of the things that is important for the children of Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange for them to know that we've learned through our research is since there is a high incidence of autoimmune disease and rare disease among this population, that when you go to your doctor and he runs those annual routine blood tests, they won't detect an autoimmune disease. If they're having symptoms, they need to go to NORD, which is the rare disease database. They need to start looking up their symptoms and try to figure out what kind of autoimmune disease they have. We also have a reported illness list so they can see the kinds of autoimmune diseases their peers are suffering from that we're aware of right now, and try to figure out what it is they have, because the American Autoimmune Related Diseases Association says that there's untold suffering among those who are either misdiagnosed or have delayed diagnosis and of autoimmune disease, which can lead to possible vital organ failure. So this is something they really need to start taking charge of, because the doctors are not really able to do it. You have to have some idea what autoimmune disease you think you have, because that's the only way you can have the test, if indeed there is even a blood test available. So don't rely on that annual blood test to tell you what's wrong with you, because it's not going to.
And that database is called NORD, N-O-R-D?
Yes.
Okay.
Google rare disease database, it'll come up.
Okay.
And one of the things that's happening, the tables have turned with my daughter, essentially not so much, oh, it's in your head anymore, because she's at the age where now her health is declining even further, and we're getting concrete diagnosis, like her most recent one, and I hope she talks about it, is gastroparesis, which is, you know, it's a scary thing. I would trade places with my daughter in a heartbeat. This breaks my heart that I've had to watch my daughter suffer her whole life.
What is gastroparesis, Dee?
Basically what gastroparesis is the paralyzation of the stomach and intestinal muscles. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can go along with it. One, there's barely anything you can eat. A lot of the things that you can eat are not something you might want to eat. But there are a lot of foods that can cause, I believe it's pronounced zores, which are these hard calcification of food and things in your stomach, mm-hmm. that can then cause blockages and things like that. It's very hard for your body to get the nutrition it needs and to stay hydrated. I've already ended up in the hospital a couple times for IV hydration because I become too dehydrated.
No matter how much you drink.
Oh, God. I drink quite a bit. Plenty
and,
of water.
And you still get dehydrated. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so this is the latest diagnosis that I've had, and it has been quite a struggle just to try to figure out how to make it day-to-day with just what I'm going to eat. And, you know, if I eat the wrong thing, then my stomach will swell up. I mean, I look like I'm 8 months pregnant.
Oh, yeah, you get a distended stomach. Yeah, sure.
Yes, and it's very painful. You know,
When you look at the database, or when you look at some of the stories from other children whose mm-hmm. parents were exposed to Agent Orange or dioxin, do you see that some of them have this gastroparesis as well?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. So you don't need somebody to do a study. You know, this is my frustration. We're all also caught up in studies. Studies can be wrong. Studies can be right. But one thing for sure is that no one puts enough information or gravity into the impromptu study that we call life. You know, we are guinea pigs here because of companies like Dow Chemical and Monsanto. We are guinea pigs learning. The effects of these things are unfolding on the entire population. This is really very, it's both sad and causes great degree of anger in me, because we have one flipping life. I don't care if you're a Buddhist and you think you're coming back, or you're Christian, you're Catholic. I don't care what you are, Muslim. You got this life right now. You're trying to get it right, and it's like you're hanging from a building, and the government and industry is stepping on one finger at a time, watching you drop. Like, what the hell? And these companies want to reintroduce this stuff into agriculture, so that young babies are going to be exposed to it in their baby food. And, oh, man, it's getting sick. It's getting sick. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin.
skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Tomorrow's Tuesday, we have the Blueprint Power Hour, followed by a researcher who's going to come on and talk about sinusitis. Millions of people suffer from sinusitis. And it's not fun. If you can't breathe through your nose, you're in trouble. Try sleeping. So we're going to talk about some new research on sinusitis after we talk about building greater strength and muscle, getting lean and ripped during the Blueprint Power Hour. Right now we're talking with Sharon Perry and D. Reyes. Sharon is the founder of AgentOrangeLegacy.com. She's got a blog there. Okay, so Sharon, what do you want? I mean, there's people out there who are going, look, I don't know anybody who was in Vietnam. I'm not worried about this. But they're about to be exposed to Agent Orange on their food. Does that scare you?
Oh, well, of course it does. But one of the things that most people don't realize is that not only was Agent Orange produced and stored in the U.S., it was tested and disposed of. So this, you know, they have to look back at history to find out already that a lot of this has happened. And it's, I think that one of the things that I found online, and I don't have a link to it right now, is that although a lot of people think the diabetes epidemic is related to obesity, it probably isn't. It's more likely related to the fact that these chemicals, you know, are used and disposed of in very carelessly.
Yeah. You know, I've come to the conclusion that it's not, nothing that is happening to us is any one thing. I did a show many, many months ago saying that autism was the canary in the mine. These children who are autistic today, everybody's looking for one reason. It's not one reason. It's the multiple assaults on the fetus by the mother, followed by epigenetic changes that affect the immune system, and these poor children, their ability to battle against these things caves in. And if someone said, okay, what could you do to completely wipe a civilization off of a planet in 150 years? We wrote the textbook on it. We've crapped in the food, in the air, in the water. I mean, we don't even know what all the electromagnetic frequencies that we bathe in, you know, from our routers and our cell phones. We are yet to know what the effects of those are epigenetically. And so it's to me, it's like, you know what? It's just insane. But what I get angry about, like right now, is we already know that 2,4-D is bad for you. We already know dicamba is bad for you. We already know it affects people and their offspring for generations. Doesn't anyone at the USDA have a radio or a television, an internet connection where they know this, and then applies their brain to it and goes, wait a minute, we can't let them start using this stuff again. We're going to be killing a lot of people. That's what I don't understand. I don't understand how government operates in a complete and utter vacuum from all of this research.
I don't think they do. I think that definitely our political system needs to be revamped.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I see images on Facebook of members of Congress should wear jackets, you know, with all the logos of all the places that give them money. And that's probably not a bad idea, and I think that's really what's wrong with
that. That's a really good idea. You know what I think even better than that? I think they ought to have it tattooed on them so they can carry it forever. Because you know what? I've said on this show in the past that someday the people at the top of the FDA are going to be so reviled and the cat is going to be out of the bag that they've caused shortening of lives and damage to so many American people. That their offspring will change their names, not to, you know, say, well what's your name? Grant. Were you related to Hugh Grant from Monsanto? Oh, man, nah, we don't want you here. Kind of like the people that were the descendants or relatives of Hitler changed their name. Because the FDA and the large companies that they protect are profiting on death today. They really are. They're profiting on death.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Anyway, okay, so how long has the organization been around now, Agent Orange Legacy?
2007.
Okay. And is the audience growing for what you're talking about? Do you see a constant migration of new people coming and going, hey, I didn't know about you?
Yes.
Well, that's good. And do you feel that you're making any impact on, do you talk to politicians at all?
Well, except for the trip to D.C., we haven't yet because we still have a lot more work. I mean, I always believed that we needed to have all our research in order and some testimony and so that we'd have something to bring. But also that's my thinking when we first started. I really thought that if we weren't prepared and we contacted our politicians and said, you know, like my case with the history with my daughter, I just figured I'd get laughed out of their office.
Can we register even if we haven't personally been affected by Agent Orange? So those people out there who know that they don't want Agent Orange reintroduced into agriculture, can we join the Agent Orange Legacy Group, or is it exclusively for the children of Vietnam veterans and their families?
No, we have a network on our website. At one point, it was a support community at a different site, but now we've moved that to our website, and we've decided to go with a network because that way we open that up to people like yourself that understand that Monsanto's reach is much further than just Vietnam and Agent Orange,
right,
and that it's now affecting and threatening everybody, that is going to help us more than hurt us.
You know, my executive producer, and she also co-hosts my Friday show with me, Elisa Profumo, we were talking about Agent Orange the other day, and she goes, I wonder who at the government level, because we know that Dow and Monsanto were pushing Agent Orange as the herbicide of choice to deforest, but she said, I wonder who at the government level made the decision that they should just rain Agent Orange down on all those men because it was safe. Do you happen to know who that was back then? I mean, I think McNamara was the in charge of defense back then, or am I wrong about that? Maybe I've got my years confused here.
I've heard his name, but I'm not sure. But I've heard Admiral Zumwalt was
really
the person that made the decision. And
wow,
his story is kind of tragic, in and of itself, since his son died of cancer. I think it was cancer that he had.
Really? Now,
you can read more about that online if you just Google Admiral Zumwalt and Agent Orange.
Wow, that's amazing. I wonder. So, in other words, maybe Admiral Zumwalt, while he may have said yes to the Agent Orange, he was probably exposed to some of it himself, it sounds like.
I don't know if he was, but I know his son was.
Ah, okay. All right.
And his grandson was born with birth defects too. I can't remember what it was that he had.
Wow. Well, there's, you know what? There's a legacy hitting close to home right there. That's sad. Very, very sad for anybody.
And I'm sure there was other people higher up that made decisions, but I don't really, I've never read anything about who that actually was.
I would love to find out who it was. I really, really would. So we could just like say, okay, this is the guy. Like we know, as of a discussion this morning, that Dan Quayle was the first person to approve a genetically modified crop. And so he is attributed to be the father of genetically modified infiltration, as far as I'm concerned. And that's going to be a legacy that's going to haunt him someday. I would love to know who said yes to Dow and Monsanto. Yeah, go ahead. We can spray this stuff on the guys. It's fine. I'd love to find out who that is. Anyway, listen, I want to...
Could have been President Kennedy.
What's that?
Could have been President Kennedy.
Yeah, could have been. Could have been. You're right. Absolutely. I'd love to find out. Listen, both Sharon and Dee. Dee, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story. I know that it's very private, but I think people need to understand what the risks are if they allow this stuff back into agriculture.
Yes, they do. Definitely.
And our hope and prayers are with you and your baby, that none of this comes to roost. And then Sharon, you know, I know it's hard to put these kind of organizations together and get traction and momentum. And I'm asking my audience to visit the website, share the information. It's agentorangelegacy.com. If you have friends out there whose parents, both men and women, were in Vietnam and they have lots of mystery illnesses, this may be a good place for them to start sharing their story and getting answers. Thanks for coming on the show today, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Okay. All right, so there you have it. Another show has been completed. Hope you got something good out of it. And then tune in tomorrow. We've got lots of great shows planned for the rest of the week. See you later.
This is the